Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like you didn't have enough experience or the right skill set? Of course you have. We all have. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue with this new series on the book of Jonah called The Manifestation of Your Life Mission, Pastor Rick shows us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to, we don't have to run away from it. Why don't you invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how to live according to the purpose and plan He has for us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can order a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or just by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called What to Do When You Cause a Storm.
So God says to Jonah, go. Jonah says, no. God says, oh? There are always consequences to every decision. You see, one of the things God did is He gave you the freedom to choose. I can choose to totally ignore God with my life if I want to. I don't have to love God. I don't have to obey God. I don't have to even acknowledge God. I can pretend God doesn't exist. God gives you that choice and gives me that choice. Why? Because He wanted people who voluntarily love Him, not have to love Him. So He gives you the choice. So you can mess up your life all you want. And God is like, fine, that's, you know, have it your way, Burger King. And He'll let you mess up your life. You are free to make any choice in life you want. God gave you that freedom. But you are not free from the consequences of those choices. And that's what we don't understand. Because we think because we're free to make choices, we're free from the consequences. No, the moment, if I'm free to jump off this thing, I'm free. But the moment I jump off, I'm no longer free. There's a law called the law of gravity that's going to cause me to fall, and I'm going to hurt myself. So the consequences of Jonah running from God are great. In fact, there are four. These four consequences are the same four consequences that happen in your life when you run from God, when you ignore your life mission, when you try to pretend you're God, when you try to play God and go, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I think I know it will make me happy more than God does. When you do that, it always causes these same four consequences that we see in Jonah's life. Negative consequences. Number one, write these down. If I run from God, number one, my life will go downhill. My life will go downhill. Running from God is always on a slide. It's always degrading. It's always downhill. You are headed down over, over, and over. There's an important word that's used in the story of Jonah over and over and over, and it is the word down. You can find it through the whole book of Jonah. He says it over and over. In fact, I want you to circle the word down every time I read these verses from the book of Jonah. Jonah 1, verse 3. He's running from God. Jonah went down to Joppa. That's a city on the coast of the Mediterranean there in the Palestine area. It's actually under the control of the Phoenicians at this time. Jonah went down to Joppa where he found a ship headed for the port of Tarshish. He paid the price to sail to Tarshish, and he went down, notice again, below deck, hoping to get as far away from God as he could. Then in Jonah 1, verse 5, Jonah was down below, laying down, sound asleep. This is in a storm. Then in Jonah chapter 2, verse 3, they throw him overboard. He says, I sank down into the deep sea. And in verse 6, I was as far down as a body could go. Running from God is all downhill. Jonah is down, 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 doobie-doo, down, down. Now, notice here, it says he goes down to Joppa where he found a ship. Isn't that convenient? If you want to run from God, Satan will always make sure there's a ship. When you want to run from God, you'll easily find a ship. Satan will make sure of that. Do you realize that Satan can set up circumstances as much as God can? You know, some guy goes, you know, I've lived with my wife. I've been married to her for 30 years. But I went to this party and I met this woman who was so fascinating and so engaging. And we just hit it off. And I knew the circumstances that this is the person I should be married to. Don't you think Satan can engineer circumstances too? If you want to run from God, he'll provide a ship. There'll always be one there. Now, second negative consequence. If I run from God, it will cost me. If I run from God, not only will my life go downhill, but if I run from God, it's going to cost me. Did you notice the phrase, he paid the price to sail to Tarshish? He paid the price to sail to Tarshish. Now, there's always a price tag in running from God. And it always costs more to run from God than it costs to run to God or to run with God in God's direction. There's always going to be a price tag when you run from God. There'll be an emotional price tag. There'll be a relational price tag. There will be maybe a financial price tag, a physical price tag, a spiritual price tag. It always costs more to run from God than to actually run with God.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. You can call us at 800-600-5004 right now or go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
Second negative consequence, if I run from God, it will cost me. If I run from God, not only will my life go downhill, but if I run from God, it's going to cost me. Did you notice the phrase, he paid the price to sail to Tarshish? He paid the price to sail to Tarshish. Now, there's always a price tag in running from God. And it always costs more to run from God than it costs to run to God or to run with God in God's direction. There's always going to be a price tag when you run from God. There'll be an emotional price tag. There'll be a relational price tag. There will be maybe a financial price tag, a physical price tag, a spiritual price tag. It always costs more to run from God than to actually run with God. Now he says he's told to go to Nineveh, which is east. But instead, he decides to go to Tarshish, which is as far west as you could possibly go in that day. Let me show you a map. Okay, here's Joppa, which is here in Israel, right on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea. He's 550 miles from Nineveh. That's go east. That's where God says go. Instead, Jonah says, I'm going to go 2,500 miles the opposite direction. This guy's seriously messed up. Okay, which do you think costs more, to go 500 miles to Nineveh or 2,500 miles to Tarshish? Tarshish was a seaport on the coast of Spain. It was the end of the known world. 2,700 years ago, they didn't know about England. They didn't know about Ireland. They certainly didn't know about North and South America. Spain was the end of the known world. What is this guy doing? He's going, I'm going to go as far the opposite direction from God as I can. You know anybody about like that? I'm going to go as far in the opposite direction as God tells me to go as I can. And when I do that, I'm going downhill, and when I do that, it's going to cost me. I'm going to have to pay the price. Number three, if I run from God, God will oppose me. He's not just going to let that happen because he loves you. He knows what will make you happy more than you do. And so if I run from God, God will oppose me. So Jonah goes down, he buys a ticket, he finds a ship, he goes on board, he goes down into the bottom below deck. He thinks he's going to have a Mediterranean cruise. A nice little Mediterranean cruise to Tarshish. But in Jonah 1:4, it says, as the ship was sailing, the Lord sent an opposing wind. Circle that, an opposing wind. Why? Because God loved Jonah. You ever had this happen in your life? Have you ever had an opposing wind? You're trying to make something happen in your life, and you're trying to make it happen and make it happen and make it happen. But it's just not happening no matter what you do. It's just not happening. And it seems like there's an invisible force opposing you and keeping you from moving ahead. You want it to happen, but does God want it to happen? There's an opposing wind that's coming against you. What is the opposing wind you're feeling right now? I mean, right now, this week, you go, man, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to get it done. But you're feeling the opposing wind. Why does God allow an opposing wind? Because God says, I don't want you going that direction. When you have an opposing wind, God sometimes said, I don't want you dating that person. I don't want you getting that job. I don't want you getting that promotion. I actually know what's better for you than you do. I know what will make you happy more than you do. I know the unintended consequences of what you're trying to do, and I'm going to prevent you from some pain. So he puts an opposing wind in your life, and you're going, I'm trying, but you're fighting against God. If I run from God, I'm going to go downhill. If I run from God, it's going to cost me. If I run from God, God is going to send an opposing wind. And number four, if I run from God, other people will get hurt. Not just you. You're not the only one. But innocent people will get hurt too. It may be your spouse. There are wives that are being hurt by husbands who are running from God. There are men, husbands that are hurt because wives are running from God. You may hurt your kids. You may hurt your grandkids. You may hurt your family. You may hurt your friends. You may be hurting your business because you're running from God. You may be hurting your neighborhood. Who knows? There's a guy in the Bible named Achan who ran from God, did the wrong thing, and as a result, the entire army was defeated in the Battle of Jericho because of one guy's disobedience. One guy caused the rest of the army to be defeated. They were all innocent. You see, sin is maybe private. Nobody knows about it, but it's never personal. If I sin, you might not know what my sin is, but it's going to affect you somehow because I'm not the right person that I ought to be. When you sin, it never just affects you. They may not even ever know about it. Your secret sin that you think, well, it's just me. I'm the only one who knows about it. No, God knows about it. But on top of that, it is affecting other people in ways you don't know. Pornography might be some secret sin, but it's affecting your relationship. There are a lot of other things. I could name things. But the fact is, other people will get hurt. Now, here's what happens in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. The opposing wind created such a massive storm that the ship was now in danger of breaking apart. So everybody else's life is threatened. Now everybody's being threatened because of one man's disobedience. Jonah's causing a lot of problems for other people simply by his running from God. Who are you causing problems for? I often have to ask myself, who is being hurt by my sin? I have to ask myself, who is being hurt by my sin? Not just me, because it hurts my relationship with God, but it also hurts my relationship with you and all that. Now, let's follow this story. Jonah chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, they're in the middle of a big storm now. That's not their fault. All the sailors were terrified, and they cried out in desperation to whatever gods each one trusted. In other words, these guys are pagans. They all have their own different gods. And they also threw overboard during the storm everything they could to lighten the ship's load. That's a typical human behavior. When you're in a storm, you start throwing valuable stuff away. You start throwing away valuable relationships. You start throwing away valuable values. You start throwing away valuable habits. You stop going to church. You start throwing away stuff. You're trying to lighten your load. And you're actually throwing away the stuff that you were on the ship for anyway in the first place. The cargo was the reason you were traveling. But when we get in storms, we typically start throwing things away. We start giving up on stuff that we really need, that's really important, that's really vital to our lives. So they threw overboard everything that could to lighten the ship's load. Now, while this storm was threatening everyone, Jonah was down below deck laying down sound asleep. Oh, great. What a great man of God. There you go. Okay. He's paying no attention. These guys are fighting for their lives in the storm of their lives in the Mediterranean. The ship's about to break apart. They're all worried. And he's down below asleep. He's ignorant of how his actions are affecting everybody else. And he's apathetic. He doesn't care. It's like the guy who was asked, do you think the two biggest problems in America, ignorance and apathy? The guy said, I don't know and I don't care. But Jonah is ignorant and apathetic. And so now look what happens. Verse 6. So the captain went down below deck to find Jonah. And he says, man, how can you sleep? How can you sleep? I mean, we're in the storm of our lives. Get up and pray to your God too. Maybe your God will pay attention and rescue us from nothing. Well, obviously, our gods aren't doing anything, so maybe your God will rescue us from nothing. Man, notice the pagan guy, the non-believer, is suggesting prayer to the supposed man of God. They got it backwards here. He's more religious than Jonah is. Next verse, Jonah 1:7. So then the sailors said to each other, this storm has to be somebody's fault. Okay, we've been in a lot of storms, but this one's a doozy, and we're going to lose our lives. So let's cast lots, throw dice, to find out who's responsible for all of this trouble. So they cast lots, and lots fell on guess who? Yeah, Jonah. Does God ever play dice? Yep, he does. Okay, and he made sure that Jonah came up. Okay, next verse, Jonah 1:8. So they asked Jonah, how have you brought down all this trouble on us? What if the people around you ask that question? What if your kids or grandkids or your wife or your husband or your business, what are you doing, man? Why are you screwing up so much? Why are you causing all this problem for the rest of us? They asked Jonah, how have you brought all this trouble on us? They're innocent. They're just sailors. What do you do? Where do you come from? What's your nationality? What kind of people do you belong to? They're just trying to, they're giving this guy the fifth degree. They're trying to figure out, how in the world did you get us into so much trouble? Next verse, Jonah 1:8. So Jonah 8, 9, and 10. So Jonah answered. Now Jonah's finally being honest. He says, I'm a Hebrew. Okay, I'm Jewish. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Now he confesses. Then Jonah told them that he was running from God. Now, this frightened the sailors even more, okay? They're scared to death. Why have you done this? What an idiot. Who would try to run from God? They could be atheists. We don't even believe in God, but if there is a God, certainly he would be everywhere. And why would anybody be dumb enough to try to run from God? God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He knows everything. You can't run from God. You can run from God the rest of your life, but then you can't run anymore, because the moment you die, you're going to go face to face to God. And so why would you be this dumb? Why would you try to run from God? Now, here's the sixth principle. Write this down. The longer I run from God, the worse it gets. The longer I run from God, the worse it will get. The longer I put off accepting my mission, the longer I live a self-centered, selfish life, the worse it's going to get. Some of you think this last year has been a rough year. And it's been tough on you. It's been a rough, rough year. As somebody who loves you, as your pastor, as your spiritual coach, I'm begging you. I'm begging you, make a full surrender of your life to God. Make a full surrender of your life to God. Just let go and let God have it all. Because you don't know what kind of storm's coming up next year. It may be nothing compared to what you went through this year. You don't know. You just don't know. God is patient with us, as Tom said, but his patience absolutely runs to an end, and God goes, I'm not going to let you just totally ignore why I made you. So if things are getting rougher, then you don't know what the storm could be ahead. Now, verse 11 says this. Now, the storm was getting worse, and the waves got rougher. Okay? Why? Because it's going on. He's still running. The storm's getting worse. The waves got rougher. How much rougher does your marriage have to get before you wake up and realize, I need to change something here? This isn't working. We're headed in the wrong direction.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us today. And if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today. But first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In his book called God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick draws simple but profound truths from the Bible, which give you practical guidance for specific types of change. This book connects you to the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
God has five purposes for your life. He wants you to know and love Him, that's worship. He wants you to belong to His family, that's fellowship. He wants you to grow in Him, that's discipleship. He wants you to serve Him, that's your ministry. And He wants you to share Him with others, that's your mission. Today, I want to close by mentioning some important things about worship. Worship means that we surrender ourselves to God to do what He asks us to do. You were designed by God to worship something. And if you don't worship God, you're going to end up worshiping something else. You see, we place our faith in things or people around the world. And when we do that, it always lets us down. Only God will never let you down. He will never abandon you. But when you come to Him in simple love and you surrender to Him, you discover He's not a tyrant, but He's a savior. He's not a boss, but He's a brother. He's not a dictator, He's a friend. And when you come and totally surrender your life to God, you enter into the heart of worship. That's where you really get to know and love God, and you get to really know how much He loves you. Today, I want you to praise God for what He's done in your life and for how much He loves you unconditionally. That's called worship.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.